In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto thee that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against thee by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to thine infinite mercy, seeking and imploring thy grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given thine only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins, and by thy Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of thee and of thy will, and true obedience to thy word, to the end that by thy grace we may come to everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our heavenly Father, hath had mercy upon us, and hath given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgiveth us all our sins. To them that believe on his name, he giveth power to become the sons of God, and hath promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. The epistle lesson for this Sunday, the 24th Sunday after Trinity, is found recorded in the epistle or letter of the Apostle Paul to the Colossians, chapter 1, verses 9 through 14, and reads as follows. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering, and with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the saints, of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Here endeth the epistle lesson. Let us now sing hymn 398. The gospel lesson for this Sunday is found recorded in the gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 9, verses 18 through 26, and reads as follows. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, Give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame hereof went abroad into all that land. Here endeth the gospel lesson. Let us now confess our Christian faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed, as this is found on page 12 in the front of our hymnals. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting.
Amen.
Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text this morning is found recorded in the first epistle or letter of the Apostle Paul to the Thessalonians, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, and reads as follows. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, Peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also ye do. This is our text. Beloved friends in Christ and fellow hearers of his word. In the scriptures of the Old and New Testament, we find many verses that talk about the last day, describing it as a day of woe and dreadful judgment for the unbelievers, and describing it as a day of joyous triumph and salvation for the believers. So that's something we can look forward to. But we just have to wait for it, patiently. Which can be hard for us, because by nature, we humans are quite impatient. We hate being forced to wait for things that we want. And if we do need to wait, we want to know how long we have to wait in order to make the wait a little more bearable. Knowing this about ourselves, it is not surprising that people try to figure out when the last day will be. But all efforts are in vain. The Bible makes it very clear that nobody will know in advance when the last day will come. So God has not revealed when the last day will come. However, he has told us how he wants us to wait for the last day. And as we notice in our text for today, he wants us to wait knowing that the last day will come at an unexpected time. Secondly, he wants us to wait as true Christians. And thirdly, he wants us to wait being confident of our salvation. Now may God the Holy Ghost bless the consideration of his word in your hearts and in your lives. Now the Christians in Thessalonica had already been instructed by the Apostle Paul concerning the coming of Christ on the last day. And so he begins our text by saying, But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. Paul could not give them any more information than he had already given them. He could not tell them exactly when Christ would return. But they did know that Christ would come at an unexpected time. And Paul takes this opportunity to review these important points with them, as he does also for us. Paul writes in our text, For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Like a thief, who must come at a time when no one suspects, in order for him to be successful in his crime. So the Lord will come in his glory at a time when no one expects him to come. Jesus himself compared his second coming to the coming of a thief when he told his disciples, Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good men of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would have not suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. anyone who thinks that he has figured out when the Lord Jesus will return, is definitely wrong. Because the Bible makes it clear that no one will know. Now, expanding on this point, that Jesus will come at an unexpected time, St. Paul writes in our text that Christ will come at a time when the unbelievers are feeling very good, at a time when they think things are great, no need to fear any coming judgment. But their feelings of safety are just an illusion created by the devil and their own sinful flesh. Though they do not realize it, the fact is they are in great danger of falling under God's judgment. Our text says, "For when they, the unbelievers, shall say, 'Peace and safety,' then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." The sudden helplessness that the unbelievers will find themselves in on the last day is compared to how labor can hit at an unexpected time, rendering the pregnant woman powerless by the unexpected shock and pains of childbirth. Now, we Christians who know these things should be doing what we can to warn the unbelievers about how they need to repent, turning away from their sins, trusting in Christ Jesus for their forgiveness before the Lord returns, and it's too late to repent. But sadly, when we try to warn the unbelievers, we usually meet with an attitude like, "It doesn't matter. Jesus isn't going to return anytime soon, if at all." And that's the exact attitude described in our text. When the impenitent unbelievers are encouraging themselves to continue in their wicked ways, saying, "Peace and safety, everything's fine, everything's great," then the Lord's judgment of eternal destruction will come upon them, suddenly and inescapably. Much like the Apostle Paul does in our text, the Apostle Peter speaks of such people who mock the second coming of Christ. This is found in 2 Peter chapter 3, where he says, "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, 'Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation.' But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burned up." Now, in response to such warnings of Holy Scripture, the unbelievers often say, "Don't worry about that. I don't believe in God, so I don't believe in a final judgment." And such unbelievers take foolish comfort, a false sense of peace and security, by simply denying what the Bible says is true. And as our text says, "When they shall say, 'Peace and safety,' then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." Whether they believe in the coming judgment or not is beside the point. God here assures them that they shall not escape it. In contrast to the unbelievers who are wallowing around in spiritual darkness, completely ignorant, refusing to be enlightened by the Scriptures, we Christians have been brought into the marvelous light of saving faith in Christ Jesus. We've been enlightened by the Holy Ghost through the gospel. God's made us different. He's woken us up to the knowledge of his word, the understanding of the gospel, the understanding of the coming judgment. And so Paul writes to the Christians in Thessalonica in our text, saying, "But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness." we Christians don't know when the Lord will return, so in that respect, it'll be like a thief for us. But our text says it won't be like a thief for us in this respect. We're prepared. We're ready. The thing that makes us prepared and ready is saving faith in Christ. Because by faith in Him, we have the forgiveness of all our sins. So we're ready to stand before His judgment throne, knowing that according to His promise, we will be declared free from sin for Christ's sake. Yes, by faith in Jesus, you and I are indeed ready for His return. Now, the fact that we do stand ready in the saving Christian faith is nothing that we can take any credit for or boast of. Because the fact that we are believers, that's the work of the Holy Ghost, without any merit or worthiness or cooperation on our part. No, He rescued us from our spiritual darkness. He's the one that made us, as our text describes, the children of light and the children of the day. And so our text continues by saying, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. So the spiritual sleep mentioned here would be unbelief. It's contrasted with the Christians who are awake by faith. That's what makes us ready, watchful, and alert for Christ's second coming. By the grace of God, we Christians have been made spiritually awake, but our sinful flesh and the devil still tempts us to pull us away from the faith. Tries to tempt us to become spiritually drowsy, to make us fall asleep in unbelief, and thus to make us unready for His return. So we all need to be on guard against falling into that deadly sleep of unbelief. And it is very easy because of our flesh to think that we can safely give in to sin, indulge in it willfully and intentionally. And the devil tells us it's fine to sin, just repent afterwards and everything will be okay. God will always forgive you, it doesn't matter. In that way, the devil seeks to make our spiritual eyes drowsy until we fall asleep in unbelief. Indeed, a person who continues in sin willfully is not a Christian, no matter how much he might claim to be one. No, he's fallen prey to the lie of the devil that he can continue in sin and unbelief willfully, intentionally, and think that everything will be fine. He just needs to remember to say, I'm sorry to God before he dies. Such a person is spiritually asleep, not ready for Christ's return. Our text for today says, for they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, Christians, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. So, continuing the contrast between day and night, St. Paul mentions that associated with the night is sleep and drunkenness. Sleep, again, referring to unbelief. Drunkenness, referring to all the sins of the flesh. So it should not surprise us that the unbelievers who live in spiritual darkness are living in their sins, such as drunkenness. But we who are children of the light, children of the day, are to be the exact opposite. We're not to be spiritually asleep. We're to be spiritually alert and awake. We're not to be living in sins of the flesh like drunkenness. We're not to be intoxicated with the sinful pleasures of this world. We're told to be sober, clear thinking, so that we can resist the temptations of the devil, the world, and our flesh, so that we can be successful in our spiritual battles. Now, to protect us in this important spiritual fight, the Apostle Paul tells us to put on the spiritual armor of faith, love, and the sure hope of salvation. And these are compared in our text to the armor that protects a soldier's head and chest. Obviously, important areas to protect. The Christian's faith, love, and hope are created and sustained by the gospel, which assures him of God's love and the promise of eternal salvation in heaven. So, then to put on those pieces of spiritual armor, we need to be built up, reinforced in the promises of the gospel given us in Holy Scripture. If we remain firm in the faith with that spiritual armor on, we are assured of God's blessing, and we will certainly prevail against all of our spiritual enemies. And as we wait for Christ's second coming on the last day, with that spiritual armor on, we can and should be most confident of our salvation. And that's not self-confidence, but it's confidence in the Lord, trusting in His promises, trusting that we are His dear children for Christ's sake, that our salvation has been planned out by Him before the world was made. Accordingly, we read in our text, God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. God's not appointed us to eternal destruction in hell, even though that's what we deserve. No, our text says He's appointed us to everlasting salvation in heaven, and that through Christ, as our text says, by our Lord Jesus Christ. It is through Christ Jesus' work of redemption alone that our sins are all forgiven and that eternal life in heaven is given to us as a free gift of God's grace. And it is by faith in the gospel that we receive those blessings. Our text continues saying, who, namely Christ, died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, whether we're alive or dead, we should live together with Him. In the death of Christ, we have the sure promise of everlasting life with Him in heaven. That holds true whether we're alive when Jesus returns on the last day or whether we've already fallen asleep in the Lord, having a blessed Christian death. On the last day, believers, both the dead and the living, will be gathered together and receive the glorious promise of everlasting life in heaven. Paul makes this point very beautifully at the end of the chapter that comes just before our text. So if your Bible is already open to where our text is found, you look at the last four verses of the previous chapter where we read, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or come before them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now that last verse of chapter 4 is very similar to the last verse of our text, chapter 5, verse 11. Where we're told, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. So the Christians in Thessalonica were told to comfort and edify one another with these promises of the gospel. To edify literally means to build up or to strengthen. These wonderful promises of God's grace in the gospel build us up, strengthen us in our saving Christian faith. Spiritually fortify us. They are that spiritual armor that our text describes. What the Bible teaches concerning the last day should strike fear into the hearts of the unbelievers. If they die in their current condition, or if the last day comes while they persist in their unbelief, it will be a most dreadful day for them. They will receive the just verdict of guilty and will be condemned to suffer eternity in hell. But for us Christians, the last day is a most joyful one. We can look forward to that. We have the promise of God's love in the gospel. We have the promise that we'll stand holy and blameless before Him through Christ. We'll receive the verdict of innocent, holy, righteous through the precious blood of the Savior. So as we wait for that glorious day with joyous anticipation, we are to wait patiently, knowing that it will come at an unexpected time. We are to wait being confident of our salvation, trusting not in our own merits, but purely in the work of Christ Jesus. So may the Holy Ghost preserve you and me in that saving Christian faith as he has promised until the day of Christ's return. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. We give thee but thine own, whate'er the gift may be. All that we have is thine alone, a trust, O Lord, from thee. Amen. Let us rise to pray. O Lord, our God, the rock of our salvation and the fountain of all truth, who givest food to the hungry and executest judgment for the oppressed, who openest the eyes of the blind and raisest them that are bowed down, who givest habitation to the fatherless and the widow and lovest the righteous. We give thanks unto thee that thou hast delivered us from the power of darkness, redeemed us with the precious blood of Christ, and in his resurrection from the dead has given us the promise of an eternal inheritance with all thy people in heavenly places. Through thy word, help us to grow in the knowledge of thee and of thy will, and in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, so that we may walk before thee according to the good pleasure of thy will all the days of our life, steadfast in faith and love, abounding in spiritual understanding and patience, and strengthened for every work of brotherly kindness and charity. Touch our souls with thy powerful word, and sanctify our hearts, that we may show forth thy praises. Stir up thy church, O Lord, to a remembrance of thine everlasting mercies and thy continual presence. Cleanse, strengthen, and govern it, that it may be thy holy people and a light that shines in the darkness. Send forth shepherds to feed the flock, who by their obedience and love shall be men of God. Put thy word in their mouths, that thy truth may prevail and righteousness increase among us. And to this end, move the hearts of men throughout our conference earnestly to desire to become future pastors in our congregations, and to prepare themselves for the responsibilities of this office by training in our seminary, that thy word may continue to be taught and upheld among us in all its truth and purity for generations to come. According to thy good pleasure, grant Pastor Leitz the strength and health needed to continue doing the work that thou hast given him as the shepherd of thy sheep at Oak Park. May they all be strengthened and preserved in the saving faith through thy powerful gospel. We implore thy mercy upon our brethren in Nigeria and Russia. Support them in their trials and deliver them by thy goodness, that they may ever trust and rejoice in the comfort of thy fatherly care. And as, according to thy promise, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, give us diligence in truth and godliness, that we may not fail to attain to thine eternal kingdom through faith in Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, in whose name we furthermore pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. O Lord Jesus Christ, who has blotted out our transgressions with thy blood and turned death into peaceful repose, we beseech thee, defend us from perplexing doubts and enable us in firm faith to take thee at thy word and to experience the power which thou dost impart to us daily in thy word, to the end that we may obtain everlasting life by thy grace, for thy holy name's sake, who livest and reignest with the Father and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. We shall now sing the third verse of hymn 429.